Before we read our, I read our scripture today, I would like to give you a little bit of context. In 586 BC, the kingdom of Judah, which included Jerusalem and the temple and the king and the line of David, so many things that were so important to the Jewish people, Jerusalem was sacked by the Babylonians. The temple was destroyed. They were sent into exile. Their king was humiliated. It changed everything for the Jewish community. And then about 50 years later, the Babylonians were taken over by the Persians, and King Cyrus came to power. And King Cyrus invited the Jews back to Jerusalem and to rebuild their temple and walls. And we see this in books like Nehemiah and Ezra and Haggai, the prophet. And we learn from the prophet Haggai that when the people came back to Jerusalem, some of them rejoiced. They thought, this is the fulfillment of what we've been waiting for. But some of them also wept. And the ones who wept were the ones who knew what Jerusalem was like before. It was a time of rejoicing, and it was a time of weeping over the rubble and ruin that Jerusalem had become. There are many people who think that the psalm I'm going to read in a moment, Psalm 126, was written in that time, a time when the Lord had kind of restored them, had brought some of the exiles back, but it wasn't the same. And so we're going to read that when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, and that might be referring to when they came back, but then there's this prayer, restore our fortunes, O Lord. And that's the prayer for that restoration to continue, for God to continue that work. And so let's read Psalm 126. It's a song of ascent, which was a song that was sung when the pilgrims were heading towards Jerusalem for a feast. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We worship this morning at a time when many of us and many of those around us are itching to return to society, to begin to open businesses again and get back to life as normal. I want to tell you that it's going to be a long time, if ever, before life is the same as it was before all of this quarantine. And frankly, it shouldn't be. There are always ways that we can grow and change. For the Jews who were returning to Jerusalem in about 536 BC and the years after that, their experience was not what it once was. Even as they returned, even as they began to build their temple and build their walls and repopulate their holy city, they were still colonized people. And even if their colonizer in that moment happened to be a relatively benevolent one, being a colonized people, being a people who have to answer to someone else, is never a great experience. The exile experience of the Jewish people would last for many, many years. And indeed, many believe that it is still an experience of the Jewish community. For us today, this pandemic experience, I hope and pray, will not last for many, many years. But I do believe we're going to be doing a dance of returning and retreating and reopening and pulling back for quite some time. And I think we can learn some lessons in our quest for joy from this psalm, Psalm 126, the psalm written in the middle of an exile slash returning experience. And what we learn is that when it comes to joy, times of exile and loss and grief, these times are planting times. When it comes to joy, times of exile are planting times. We're really going to focus on the last two verses of the psalm. And in those two verses, we get two sowing and reaping images that I think help us in this time. In verse 5, we get some insight into what it is we sow in our times of exile, in our times of grief and loss. The psalmist writes, "May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy." What we sow in times of exile are our tears. I'm going to use, this is not the same kind of farming that was going on in ancient Israel, but I'm going to use some images from farming that I think kind of help us to see what's going on here. Around here, we have some pumpkin farms. And if you've ever planted for pumpkins, you know that you don't plant pumpkins into the ground, do you? Pumpkin farmers do not stick a big pumpkin into the ground when they're planting in the spring or summer. We plant seeds. Seeds contain the blueprint for whatever it is that's going, it's going to become. So a pumpkin seed contains the blueprint for a seed or for a pumpkin. But over time, that seed begins to draw in water and the nutrients from the soil and eventually the sunlight. The seed splits open, and it's a great deal of time before that pumpkin actually emerges from the ground. And the psalm says that if we are seeking to harvest joy, we don't just try and, boom, make joy happen, plant joy into the ground and let it grow. The psalmist says that we sow the tears of our grief and our disappointment and our disillusion with all of the ways that we are in sorrow that the world is not the way it could be, in all the ways our lives are not what we would have them. We are to sow those tears of grief and loss and disappointment and disillusion into the soil if we want a harvest of joy. And then we cultivate whatever season we're in. Again, the farmer doesn't cultivate pumpkins the whole year. The farmer is cultivating the soil and the seed and then a little sprout and then a vine. The farmer cultivates whatever season it is. For us, we, in our human experiences, we have diverse experiences of human life. And God says, cultivate whatever season you are in whatever ways are appropriate for that season. We work the soil of our lives. We work the little sprouts that begin to come up. We work the vines. We may have to prune and weed and take things away at times. But always, we are making sure that we are able to receive what we need so that we can grow in the love of God. The question is always, how can I receive what I need in this moment so that I can grow in the love of God? What that means is that human beings are not always working with joy. We're not always working with the thing that we're hoping to harvest. We are working with our human experience of life. We are tending the soil of our hearts to let the life-giving Spirit of God grow us up towards a harvest of joy. So friends, I want you to know today that your sorrow, your grief, your quarantine, your disappointment, your exile, all of those things, if we allow ourselves to experience the sorrow and the grief of those things, if we allow ourselves to be moved towards tears or whatever sorrow looks like for us, all of those things are seeds that can become a harvest of joy in the presence of the one who sowed the body of Jesus in a tomb and created a resurrection harvest in the risen Christ. So it's important for us to know that if we are seeking joy, that means that often that we have to first sow in tears. So that's what we sow, but we also have this image of when we sow. And that's in verse 6. The psalmist writes, "Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves." And I think we learn from this that we are to cultivate our souls in difficult times. We're to cultivate our souls in difficult times, even though that can be hard work. Maybe it might be the last thing we want to do. We just want to disappear, right? Or we just want to control. Cultivating our souls is not always the first impulse that we have when we're going through a time of trial. But the reality is, again, using local imagery, if we don't sow in the rains of spring or water in the heat of the summer, we will not have a harvest in the cool of the fall. If we don't cultivate in those hard seasons, when harvest is a long way off, we don't ever get to experience the harvest. And so this time of quarantine, or frankly, whatever, and maybe we're tired of talking about quarantine. Friends, we all had struggles before the quarantine happened. We're going to have struggles when the quarantine is over, right? Whatever our struggles are, whatever our season of grief and loss is. And actually, I was listening today, Father Richard Rohr, I've quoted him before, I'm sure. He said he defines suffering as any time we're not in control or any time we feel that or realize that we're not in control. So whatever that struggle is, it is a time to cultivate, to sow, to tend, to water, to weed. Because it is not that God isn't there. And that is the great illusion that many of us have, and it's a delusion, that God isn't there when life isn't feeling good. Because many of us want God to be the one who's just kind of like the vending machine, giving us what we want all the time, making life smooth and clear and smooth for us all the time. And then when that life isn't like that, we're like, well, where is God? Friends, in those times, that it's not that God isn't there. It's that God is doing Good Friday work, or God is doing Good Saturday cultivation, Holy Saturday cultivation. Not every moment of our lives is Easter Sunday. And it doesn't mean that God isn't there. It means that God is at work doing something different that we maybe need to take a second and look a little closer and read the story a little more so that we can see God is on the cross in this moment. God is in the tomb in this moment with me when I'm on the cross and when I'm in the tomb. God is there doing that kind of work. And so many of us are going out to our gardens in the day, maybe you've already done it, maybe you're ahead of my family, but we're going to be going out to our gardens and planting those seeds. And it can be hard work, tilling the soil, clearing up whatever has gathered there throughout the winter. Maybe the soil has hardened and we got to break it up a little bit, and we got to plant those seeds, we got to plant out the garden, we got to do all those things. And that's hard work. And the harvest is a long way off. It's months in the distance. But by fall, or by whenever those things come up, whether they're tomatoes in the summer or snap peas even earlier, or whether they're, you know, something like pumpkins or whatever that comes in the fall, you're going to be glad that you did the work in the spring. You're going to be glad that you tilled and planned and weeded and planted. You're going to be glad you did that work when the harvest comes. So what does it look like to cultivate our souls in these times of struggle and trial? Well, I think it looks like making sure that we have time in our lives to be still and aware of God's loving presence with us. If we're struggling to find God in the joys and beauties and goodness of life, then maybe we need to look inside at the cross and at the tomb in our hearts and say, God, where are you? I know you're there. Show yourself. Help me to understand what kind of work you're doing in my life right now. Take time to notice what is going on in you. We often don't do that. We often push through our day, and by the end of the day, we're like, I don't even know what went on in me all day. I just know all the things I did. I don't know what went on in me. Notice the things that are going on in you. Notice the things that irritate you. Notice the things that give you a splash of fresh water in a good way. Notice those moments, and notice what comes out of you. I don't know about you. In this quarantine time, I've noticed a few things coming out of me, coming out of my mouth, coming out of just like how I'm living my life that I don't like. Notice those things that are coming out of you. Not to condemn yourself or to feel bad about it, but just as part of the path where we can offer those things to God and say, God, I need you to pull some of those weeds right now. I need you to break up some of that hard soil in me right now. Again, not to feel bad about it, but so that good things, so that the tears can grow into joy, so that we can have a harvest of joy one day. That's why we do that work. Take time in this time of quarantine to grieve the parts of yourself and the parts of your life that are not aligned with your deepest God dreams, that are not aligned with the Jesus in you, that are not aligned with the abundance of God. Take time to grieve those things, to acknowledge them, and to plant those tears of sorrow and disappointment into the ground. And ask relentlessly, relentlessly ask, what needs to die in me? What needs to be buried in the tomb? What needs to die in our church? What needs to die in our society so that God can raise up a harvest of something better and something new? If we don't allow God in now, we're going to go back to all of the distracting things that our lives were filled with before and be just as empty and wondering, where's all the joy? Now is the time to sow our seeds of sorrow and allow God to cultivate the things in us that will grow up into a harvest of joy. In that time of exile for the Jewish people, the prophet Jeremiah told them, this is the time to plant. This is the time to marry. This is the time to build. This is the time to learn to love the neighbors that it's hard to love. The time to do those things is when life is hard. And God says, this is why. God says, for I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plant now. Take up your cross. Allow whatever is in you that needs to die, let it die and be buried in the tomb now. Sow your seeds of tears and sorrow now. Because God is growing up a harvest of joy, a fruit of joy in us through those crosses, through those tombs, and into those Easter resurrection experiences in our lives. I don't always quote the theologian John Calvin, but I'm going to do it today because he so beautifully says what is going on in this psalm. He writes, in order then that joy may succeed our present sorrow, let us learn to apply our minds to the contemplation of the issue or the harvest which God promises. Thus, we shall experience that all true believers have a common interest in this psalm, in this prophecy, that God not only will wipe away tears from their eyes, but that he will also diffuse inconceivable joy through their hearts. Let it be so. Amen.